Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio none other than Police Chief Lance Ketterling of the City of Palmer Police Department. Welcome.
Hi, Mike. Thanks.
So today is going to be a little bit different. You've come in during the middle of the week. You've been in here many times to talk about operations of the police department on our Inside the City program. But today what we're looking at is something that is more of a kind of a new program, would you say, or a revitalization of an older program?
Yeah, I'd say that's a better way to characterize it. Certainly a revitalization. We're going to talk about Neighborhood Watch, which isn't new. But in Palmer, it's something that we'd like to kind of kickstart and get moving again.
Okay. Neighborhood Watch. I think probably many people in listening, hearing that, have their own ideas about Neighborhood Watch. Do you remember? Let's go back in time
sure.
a bit here. In your earlier days, in my earlier days, I'm thinking, I've heard Neighborhood Watch. Have you had experience when you were not on the police force at an earlier time with examples of Neighborhood Watch?
Well, I think it goes back a long time. I'm not sure when the program was officially codified or organized as Neighborhood Watch, but it's not a new concept. It certainly isn't. It's part of community-oriented policing, and that's that the community sort of, to a degree, take a lead in looking out for themselves and reporting suspicious activity that they see to local law enforcement. And so this isn't a new concept. It's been happening for decades, probably even longer than that. But it's been kind of made official in the Neighborhood Watch program, and that's some of the signs that you see up all over various different towns, the large blue eye or the red signs with the picture of the thief on it, and a notification that they call police if they see suspicious activity.
Are you aware of any program that's been around for a while? I would believe is subjected to some scrutiny, review, study. Are there kind of looks at how Neighborhood Watch has been effective in other locations or even in the city of Palmer? Are you aware of any? Okay.
Well, no, I'm not actually though, but, it's an effective program in as much as that, despite the fact that, we have a supportive city government and we certainly have a supportive community, we can't be everywhere we'd like to be all okay. the time. And so what this does is provides us some extra eyes out there, to help us find suspicious activity or things that we can use to focus our resources better rather than just, driving around on random patrol. Certainly a part of our job, but if we can work smarter, that helps, and it definitely is more of a deterrent. And this is what Neighborhood Watch really does. At its core, it's building relationships at a block level or something along those lines, a subdivision at the biggest. It's certainly not a citywide thing. And so while next week on the 12th, we're going to have a meeting at the depot, and everyone is invited to attend, whether they live in the city or not. The goal is not to start a City of Palmer Neighborhood Watch. It's to start individual block size or small groups for, say, Cranberry Meadows or Cedar Hills or Valley Trails or those types of sizes where those individuals can really get to know each other. They can have contact information for people that might be out of town or for people to go to where kids can get help if they need to after school. Those sorts of things. And that in itself is a big crime deterrent because there have been some studies, and these have shown pretty conclusively that people that know each other, for the most part, are less likely to try to victimize people that they know and they care about. So that in and of itself is a positive outcome of the program.
So you mentioned the event happening on the 12th. It's going to be over at the depot across the street. People will come and learn. What will they learn when they come there, or how will that
work? Well, we're going to talk about several different things. I'll be there. We'll have our detective, Christy Muhlenberg, will be there, and we'll have at least one representative from the Emergency Dispatch Center. Commander Shelton will be there as well to talk about the patrol operations side of things. And we shall have some materials for Neighborhood Watch about how to start up a group in your area, some of the benefits of the program. We'll have some child DNA and ID kits to pass out to everybody. We'll discuss crime statistics and then basically how a Neighborhood Watch can function and what some of the do's and don'ts of the program are.
Okay. So just as a brief intro to that, I'm thinking, okay, if I were interested and I went over there, I'm thinking of the neighborhood that I live in. It sort of blends into the center of Palmer, but there are some definable areas. And I know in Palmer, I mean, for example, there are Cedar Hills.
Sure.
That's kind of a defined area, although a large area. And then there may be other smaller subdivisions, et cetera. This sounds like it's a pretty flexible program that would allow people, but it seems to also require someone to take the lead on a local area with a group that would
And that's a very good point. And that's why, and it's not unique to Palmer in any way, shape, or form, but all of these neighborhood watch groups tend to wax and wane depending on the enthusiasm of the members in the area. So what we're doing on the 12th is kind of hoping to start arranging some of these meetings so these things can take place. And then if people want to set up an area, a watch group in their block or their subdivision and have some meetings, then the police department will certainly come and attend those meetings as well and talk to you on a more individual level about, okay, here's what we've seen in your area, not just citywide.
Okay.
And if you've got any issues that you need to talk to us about, you can do it now or you can call us later, whatever you like. But this is to help generate some interest. And then when we get some groups going, we will absolutely be in attendance with those meetings if they decide to have them.
Have you had any preliminary response from the community, individuals in the community? Have there been individuals or groups that have even requested such an activity?
There have been, and it's kind of spotty from time to time. But for example, there is an active neighborhood watch group in Cedar Hills at the moment. Although it's an area, like you said, it's big enough. It could certainly be divided into two or more groups because it's Cedar Hills for Palmer is a fairly large subdivision. And so that kind of thing has been has received some positive comments and some positive feedback. But yes, there are some people that are very interested in the program. And this is one of the reasons that we're doing it.
Now, you mentioned something that is very often the face of the watch, and that is actually the decals and signs that point out that Neighborhood Watch exists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware. I'm thinking of Palmer, where I have I seen anything like that? I have not.
Well, thinking back over the last 20 years or so, mm-hmm. I can recall a few. I mean, there were some on Auklet over there by the tunnel for a while.
And sure.
There have been some in some different neighborhoods, but there's not very many right now. And that's one of the things we did was order some more metal signs for people to put up if they start a group in their area. And that's more of a kind of a deterrent type of thing. It's, the equivalent of a fake camera or something along those sure. lines to let people know that, maybe you should pick a different, an easier target, not this neighborhood, go someplace else if you're going to do this kind of nonsense.
Okay. I've just, completed a trip to, the Capitol, Washington, D.C. And, in that process, spent a little time on the metro, and metro stations and around a whole variety of parts of the city. And I did notice and of course this is a big city, big area, a lot of people rolling, but, there were signs that suggested that if you noticed anything in the way of what was termed suspicious activity, just report it. That was taking this, watch, and it was generalized. So it obviously wasn't saying that there's a group on the subway that travels at this time and they're going to watch carefully. It was more of a, in part because I would suspect that Washington, D.C. is considered by some people to be a target.
Sure.
So in that urbanized setting, there were obviously signs of, literally signs saying, take a proactive stance and notice things. Now, Neighborhood Watch is a different kind of thing than that. Is that it has a different feel to me.
Well, it's less concerned, although this is certainly changing. Historically, let's put it this way. Historically, it had been less concerned with the terrorist activity side of things. However, given the world in which we now live, that certainly can be a component of it, especially depending on where you live. So certainly there are no known threats to Palmer right now that we've been briefed on in terms of terrorist activity. But, that doesn't mean that it's not a very disparate type of thing. Terrorism can affect a lot of people from very urban areas to very rural. So, but Neighborhood Watch is basically designed for people watching after their own individual community and looking for suspicious activity. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about next week is what type of activity we mean when we say something that's suspicious. And that's where getting to know your neighbors actually helps, because if you know the patterns that people have, you know, in other words, this person likes to go start his car up at 2 o'clock in the morning because he works nights, mm-hmm. you might know that activity a little bit more, and you might not be as inclined to report this as someone trying to break into a car at 3 in the morning when those types of things typically happen, sure. because it's just your neighbor getting out to start his car.
Right.
And so we'll talk about that, what we really like to know. If we have interesting crime trends, or if we have intelligence that there's a problem going on in your neighborhood, that's something we'll certainly pass on to you at the meetings, or you know, even individually, so you can spread it out to the group.
As you were talking, I'm thinking this is a very interesting process, because as I understand it, what basically you're doing, is inviting the community to participate in this process, rather than to say, well, the police department takes care of this. I can just be here until something happens, and then I'll call someone.
Well, absolutely. And the police department's role has not changed in that regard.
Right.
We are still there to protect people that have a difficulty protecting themselves, and to help prevent crime, or at least move it around, to prosecute offenders when we make arrests. But we can do that a lot better if we have the community support. And so this does a lot of good things in that regard. First of all, it helps us, again, know where to look. It builds better ties with the community. It gets us more involved with knowing what the community concerns and wants and desires are, so we can focus our efforts that way as well in terms of crime prevention or focused patrols.
So I'm wondering, is there anything that's parallel to this that occurs with, say, the school district and schools? Because I know that schools are kind of a, in my terminology, a strange form of gathering, because there are a lot of people that are brought together from all kinds of places, and they have a goal, intention, education, organization, et cetera. But within that environment, there are certainly have been in the past a number of things that happen which are crime-related, et cetera.
Sure.
And the school district does a lot of work, and individual schools do a lot of work. And I know that the police department has from time to time been involved in education within schools. But as we're talking about Neighborhood Watch, this is a little more difficult environment. I would wonder whether there are some school communities, you know, the schools, particularly elementary schools, are located in communities, whether they would in some way be interested in participating in what is the general Neighborhood Watch type of thing.
Well, we've always tried to keep very tight ties with all of our local schools, from mm-hmm. secondary on down, certainly. For example, we teach forensic detection classes at the high school on occasion, or at the junior high, do some drug awareness classes, that sort of thing. And then, again, just keeping in touch with the administrators about some of the things that they're seeing. And you're right, they're fundamentally a little town in and of themselves, where mm-hmm. everybody lives in the same building. And so kids are they're one of those things that, you know, they're kind of seen but unseen. So they know a lot of things, and sometimes they might not even know that they know them. So, but then the other thing that you talked about, and I think this is really important, is what is the intent of a school? And so we want to be really careful. We don't turn it into something where the kids are, you know, either brought in or conditioned that they're supposed to inform on X, Y, or Z, because
right.
that's not what we're really looking for. What we've had some success with is that, should the school officials come to some type of information that would be useful to us, and we have many conversations with them about what that might be, then they can come to us and tell us what it is they've learned. And that can even include anonymity for the students that know it. Of course, we don't need to know that information necessarily. So, they can have a lot of information. But again, the school and... Sure, it's changing across the country, but it really wouldn't it be nice if the schools could just focus on education and that's what they would do. The kid would go there and, you know, they would learn math and, history and all their other courses, and they wouldn't have to worry about, you know, for at least that little brief period of time in their lives about who's doing what around their house. But Yeah, it's a point that's well taken. There's a lot of information there. It's just we really want to be responsible about how we gather that. So
yeah, okay. Well, I was just curious a little bit.
Sure.
Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with Police Chief Lance Kettling of the City of Palmer Police Department. We're talking about a somewhat revitalization or encouragement for a look at Neighborhood Watch. And the meeting that you mentioned will be at what time on the 12th?
7 o'clock on January 12th at the depot.
Okay. That's right across the street. People can come in and learn about this. And if you've had some interest out there, and perhaps you've noted that the neighborhood has occasionally had one or another problems, you'd like to get the police perspective on both that neighborhood and a process that would be seemingly helpful that would involve an active participation by the citizenry. Have we covered it all, or is there something else that you'd like to say about this?
Well, we'd really like it to be, an open forum at the meeting. And one of the things we'd really like to have is some feedback from the community about their thoughts and concerns. So please bring your questions. There'll be people from the police department and the dispatch center there as well to help answer them.
Okay. Thank you, Chief Kettling.
Thank you, Mike.